just start.
Yeah, we're holding this meeting on Wednesday, July 11th at the fish camp of the Earharts on the Yukon River, and we're ready to hear from some of the people here.
Maybe you could just mention your name at the beginning and then just carry on, Patty.
My name is Jackie Sunnyboy, and I was just explaining to Judge Berger that I had worked on the original land claims when they first became in existence, and went to the villages and did the part of the voting procedure for the villages, and trying to explain to them what the land claims were about, and presented pamphlets for them that would be in simplistic terms so that they could have a better comprehension of what the land claims would mean to them in the future. But one of the problems that had happened at that point is that the people were not understanding what these pamphlets are about, what the land claims were about, and did not know the right questions to ask, and had no idea what the ramifications of the land claims would be in the future for not only them but for their children.
When
I'll sit over here.
Oh, okay, sure.
You're not moving that mic around like. No, you sit there.
I'll be right. I haven't used the
room. You guys can move it back and forth.
Then. Yeah. Oops.
Happens, doesn't it?
Tell me when you joined Legal Services and how those meetings went when you were explaining the Land Claims Act and the reaction of the people.
I believe I started Legal Services, I believe, 1972-73. And when I went to the villages to explain the land claims to them, at that point, there were chiefs at the villages, there were councils at the villages, but they were not given the proper information as to what the meanings of corporations were, what it would mean to be a stockholder to them. Many of the people at that point spoke very little English. The younger people who were sent away to the schools had knowledge of the English language, but for many of the elders who made the decisions for the villages were not able to understand because they had a very difficult time just understanding the language itself, let alone what was written in the pamphlets. So it was a very difficult period for them. They had no idea what questions to ask at that point. And as Gladys said, many of the people just told them that they were to sign here on the dotted line, didn't tell them what they were signing and what this would mean to them and their children later on.
What were what region of Alaska were you working in at the time?
I was working out of the Fairbanks office, and we covered, I believe, 58 villages in the interior, covered the interior villages from, let's see, we went all the way up Beaver, Fort Yukon, Tetlin, all the way down to Tetlin. I think it was as far
as we went. What did people think they were getting? I mean, after it was over, 58 villages, it must have taken you a few months to do this. What was your impression when it was all over? What did people think had been achieved? The people in the villages, what did they think had been achieved? What?
that they were going to get land and they were going to get money in 20 years, that they would get this big chunk of money, and that sounded good to them. They also thought at one point that if they had all this money coming to them, that they, if they became in need, that they could use this as to sign a note to give away as collateral, that this was collateral to them. And I remember many of the older gentlemen saying, well, if they got in a big card game, they always had their land and their money, that they could write a little note and say, well, I owe you. I owe you 5 acres, I owe you $35. They didn't realize that at this point they couldn't use that. So they really did not have a full understanding of what this document was and what this would mean to them.
As we go around to the villages, we find that people are more and more concerned about 1991, about the fact that if shares are sold after 1991 to non-natives, the native corporations will eventually become non-native corporations. They're concerned that their land may be taxed after 1991. Were these things really discussed in those early days?
No, absolutely not. And for the people themselves, because they didn't have an understanding of what land claims was about, they didn't have the knowledge to know what questions to really even ask about those things. They weren't concerned about the future, what the ramifications of what this was going to do to them. They just knew that they were going to get money one day, and they thought they were getting land. They didn't think about who was going to get the money or who was going to get the land. Those questions weren't even asked because they didn't even have the knowledge to ask those questions at that point.
You were going to say something?
I was just thinking about Gladys's comment.
Well, how do you think it's all worked out then in the years that have passed?
Well, I have been outside for about 4 years, and I've just come back now. We must have got him. So I'm just as interested to watch what has taken place in the last 4 years since I've been gone, and just getting a feel of the ramifications of it at this point. And it's been really interesting. That's why I was sort of interested to know that you were coming around and doing basically the same thing. Where are those kids? Wait a minute.
Well, maybe we better see what's up.
I heard him coming over and going.
Was that Mike shooting?
No, in the boat.
Oh, in the boat.
Must have missed it. The neighbors come back.
Mm-hmm. Before, just starting with your name, if you wouldn't mind.
I'm Gladys Earhart. I think most people understood, what it was, but all that was told to us that we were going to get money and land. I never ever heard of anybody, saying you could use it for collateral. I never did. But we knew that, I understood that we would get land and money. And when I registered, they told me I had to register in Tanna. I wanted to go to Rampart because that's where I was born and raised. But they said, no, you live here in Tanna, you're married here, so you sign here. So I signed, I was going to get money and land. But it's only what I understood out of it. It was never fully explained in Tanana. I've never ever heard anybody really sit down, explain it. And the people in Tanna are pretty well educated. I know if somebody explained to them, they would have understand, because just everybody spoke English, some of them broken English, but they still understood. Because, you know, down there it's mixed whites and natives. They were, oh, it was always been like that. So they pretty well understood. It was just never explained, you know. Like we never, you know, they didn't say anything about 1991. We never heard about that till what was a couple of years ago. Nobody ever said anything about that.
When Doyon was formed, did anybody ever come in from Doyon and go through it with you? About what it meant to be a member of the corporation?
No.
You were just a member. Mm-hmm. Just a member of a corporation.
When you when it was explained to people back in those days, you say that they were told and they understood that they were going to get land and money. Did the people think they were going to get checks themselves, or that each of them was going to get a piece of land, or that the land was going to be held by their tribal council, or did they understand that it was corporations that would get the land and the money?
No, we thought it was each individual, you know. Like I thought I could get land for my children, and I thought, you know, we'd get a check. But I thought it was going to be, I didn't know they were going to have corporations and all that, you know. That was never explained either, not to me anyway, because I wasn't in town all the time. They could have had meetings, you know, while I was on the trap line or something, but I never heard of any big meetings. It was always, oh, you're going to get land, you're going to get money, and put in 460 acres and you'll get it. And that was it. That's all I understood out of it.
We're here at your fish camp. Is this fish camp an allotment, a native allotment?
No, we're on federal land.
And is there any particular basis on which you are allowed to be here?
We're not supposed to put up a permanent structure like this cabin right here. We're not supposed to do that, but it's cold in the fall and rainy, so we put that up. Well, we could tear it down if we have to, but we stay here about 3.5 months a year, and this is our 9th year. But it's federal. Anything below the rapids is federal toll. Down here, I don't know how many miles down here, then it's native. But then I have 160 acres. They surveyed it, but I never did get a title for it. I have a cabin that's been there for 40 years, caches, and we've trapped there, but I never did get a title for it.
Did your family have it before you? That
my husband's family. But he told me to put in for it.
Where is that?
It's on the Tanana River, 8 miles above Tanana.
How do you feel that the land claims has worked out now, 13 years later? How has your own corporation in Tanana worked out, and how about Doyon? What's your impression of each?
It isn't very good. Our corporation lost just about everything. We had a store, but we don't have that anymore. I want to see what Doyon is doing for us. I mean, I'll be frank. We're not benefiting from it at all. I just don't get anything out of it. I mean, I'd like to have a title to my 160 acres, and I feel like I got something out of it. Because I don't think anybody would take it away from me, because it's been a family thing for years and years. It's our trap line for. But I don't. Our corporation isn't doing anything. They have airlines there that's, I don't know, going to fold up too, I guess. That's all I have to say about it. I didn't gain anything out of the. And I had 3 children after that. They didn't get anything. We did get, a check once. I think $1,000 check.
Was that a dividend check?
Mm-hmm. Or it was from Doyon, was it?
This is Al Kessler, Jr., intervening to explain this for us.
It was in 1974. We got a check, and that was a disbursement to all the natives, of, what was it, 20, it was almost $2,200 or something like that, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that much?
Just a little over $1,000 because everybody was running to the post office saying we're going to go get our Indian money. It was $1,000 even, I think. Or, mm-hmm. Then I think we did get one check from our corporation.
We did receive one going on, $100.
What was that disbursement to all the natives back in 74? Where did that come from? Was that from Doyon, or was it... Oh, I see.
It was from Doyon. It was federal money that was passed. I guess, under the act, I guess they had to make one disbursement to all the stockholders.
That was a distribution from the fund to...
Right, from the fund.
It wasn't a dividend, though.
No.
Could I ask Mrs. Sunnyboy... whether at the time you were going around for legal services to explain the thing, people understood that this was a settlement, in a sense, with one generation of Native people. That is, the children born after 1971 would have no right to be enrolled as shareholders.
And that, I do remember that at that time that was a question. Why were the... What would happen to children that were born after that period of time? And that's been a question that I've heard repeatedly. What about all of our children that have been born after that? Why do they not have a right to share in that? And of course, the only way they would be through inheritance at this point. But they had no benefits from that way, from the land or from the money.
Anything that you'd like to bring up, Mrs. Earhart?
Do you think the older children have an understanding about the land claims?
Sure, they teach it in school. You know, you have to have a credit to that to graduate, and they didn't, you know, until about 3-4 years ago, because I know all my boys had to take a course in that Native, so they understand it pretty well.
Well,
do you have any thoughts about what you'd like to see happen in the next few years and in the future? The idea of how you might want to see things change?
Well, I think they should give us title for, you know, the land that they said was going to be ours. Well, some people did. I mean, the people that work for Doyon on them, they do benefit from it, but there's very few of them. Like in the villages, there's no jobs anymore either, and just certain people. Our corporations should get into business, you know, where they could make money so we could get checks. That's what they had the Native Land Claims Act about, and it's to help the people, and it's not, just few of them.
Do you think that the village corporations, that the people that are members of the village corporation have the knowledge to seek funds and to provide services and business for your village?
No, some of them, I mean, like, we have the same people all the time in the corporation. I think they should change and give the younger people, because it's the same people with the same beliefs, and we could lose $1 million and nothing is done about it. And we did lose $1 million. And that could have went to help a lot of families. Have money right there, but I think they should change hands and let the younger people that understand it and not just sit in their old ways. You know, some of them will know they're wrong, and yet that's their ways. I know we have that problem in Tanana, real bad, and they will not change their ways. They don't like somebody. Okay, we're not going to go in business with this guy just because we don't like him. We had a good guy running our store in our airlines, just perfect. We were making money, and a few on the board. The Tozitna board didn't like him and ran him out. I don't think it was maybe 7 to 9 months later, we lost our store. They got a guy in from Where was it? Forgot, somewhere in the States. Robbed us all. We went broke. We had a nice store. Really, yeah, that really helped the people. We were able to get credit, you know, like when you're coming fishing. You used all your money up you made the last year, and then you were allowed to get credit and pay when you commercial fish. Well, they don't have that now. And at AC company, you're just allowed so much, and if you don't pay every 30 days, then they charge you for being late. It's hard on those people down there. There's no jobs at all. You know, just certain people have the same jobs all the time, and they're not doing us any good, and yet they keep letting them stay in there.
Did they bring any consultants in or other people that had the knowledge and expertise in business to come to the village and talk to them about what they could do to make the corporation successful?
I don't think so. My boy that's over at the fish wheel now was on the board there. I've never been on the board. But he is on the board, so he would know. They have their meetings, and most of the time it's a closed meeting. You know, so we really don't know what's going on. But he would know more, you know, if they did consult anybody, but I don't really.
Could I ask Mrs. Sunnyboy, you were telling us what the impression was in the villages of what had been done, and Mrs. Earhart said that people thought they were getting land and money. What did the white people of Alaska think the natives had achieved? You know, in the lower 48 and in other countries, we heard stories about the Alaska natives had become millionaires and so on and so forth. What did the non-native people of Alaska think the native people had gotten out of this at the time?
I remember there were comments made that it was going to be a very similar situation to like the Indians in Oklahoma who had discovered oil. That, you know, they were joking around, well, they'll all be driving Cadillacs and big pickup trucks. But I don't believe that they had the full knowledge of what the land claims were going to do. And of course, for people in the business world who have the expertise in business and corporations, they had a much clearer sense as to what it was going to be about. But for the general population, it was just going to be another Oklahoma Indian tale. You know, they'll all be driving around in their Cadillacs. I remember that was a joke, remember, on 2nd Avenue. Pretty soon you'll be seeing everybody driving in their big fancy cars. And they didn't realize that wasn't going to be the case.
I wonder, Mr. Sunnyboy, would you mind talking a little bit about it? And I'll take Al's seat here. Oh, here. Well, just give us your name and tell us a little bit about your background and what corporation you belong to, and we'll take it from there.
Well, my name is Robert Sunnyboy. I belong to Tokatili Corporation on Ninanan. And I fish on the river here, as my grandparents did, my mother and father, and et cetera. And I worked the pipeline off and on, still do. And I thought that the land claims was going to do me some good, but I didn't realize it was going to take so much time. I thought it was kind of going to be an instant deal, which it wasn't. And as it ended up, well, I really didn't get nothing out of it.
What did you think you might get out of it?
Well, I was expecting a fair share, but they didn't say 20 years from now. You know, that's all I wanted. It was just whatever was coming to me, if anything at all. I didn't really expect too much, but at least I could have got a little bit.
Well, now We're faced with the situation after 1991. These corporations may be taken over by outside corporations, by non-native interests. If they acquire a majority of shares in the corporations, then they'll control the corporations and the land. But at least, if native people sell their shares after 1991, they'll get some money out of it. if the shares are worth something. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'd kind of like to see everybody stick together and hold on to what they got. I wouldn't like to see a whole bunch of selling going on right away, you know. It'd be kind of a waste. We'd be giving up a lot of what little we got.
The other question that people raise in a lot of the villages is this. They say, why were the children born after 1971 left out of the settlement? How do you feel about that?
I'm not too sure, really. I guess that the parents should have been control, but yeah, I think they should get a little bit in the end, the true Alaskans. They should have their little share in there somewhere. But it's got to be it has to be divided up by the originals, you know, they're the ones that gotta, if they're gonna get anything at all, they're the ones that's gonna get it, and they should be the ones that divide it accordingly.
A shareholder at Nanana and a shareholder in Doyon. Tell us a little bit about the Nanana Corporation. How is it made out?
I really don't know. I don't spend that much time in Nanana dealing with them people. I just know that I belong to it, and they send me newsletters every once in a while, but that's about it. I really don't know what's going on in that corporation.
Are they paying dividends?
Yes, we get dividends once or twice. I think we got two so far since everything started.
Two? And how many?
Well, when did we start Togatili?
74.
Oh, two dividends since 74.
Yeah, well, I think one amounted to $200 and some and the other one $100.
I think he brought up a point. There was a general meeting a couple weeks ago, and there was a very poor turnout. For Tokelihili. And one of the comments that was made, why bother even going to the meetings? Because it's going to be the same thing, run by the same people, and where has it got us? You don't see the native population attending the meetings. You know, like even the big meetings for Doyon. I think we've gone to a couple of them, but not really to go and sit and listen and understand, find out what exactly is going on in the corporations. I think there's been a lot of disillusionment, don't you? Like you don't even bother to go to the meetings.
No, I don't go to any of them. It isn't. Everything is so long and drawn out and confusing that it's a lot of people just don't take the time to go. There was a simple explanation for everything. I guess life would be easy, but it isn't.
What about the future? What do you think should happen now? Any suggestions from either of you about that?
Gee, I know it's been taking so long to get anything, or what little we got, it's kind of hard to expect anything. You can't really say, like, I've never seen nothing. I've seen a few dividends, like you said, but I've never seen no land or any place I could build a home or anything, you know. That would be nice if I could get some land.
Well, I think another thing, too. Back in the 70s, of course, everybody, the young people who were in their 20s, really weren't interested in business. They were out getting jobs, trying to have a good time, and they really weren't interested in sticking to the corporations and what that corporation meant to them. Now, as they're becoming older, I think they're becoming more concerned, but they don't have the knowledge of what the corporations are about and what's going on. I think you see more of the people our age becoming more involved, like the Solomons and people our age. But even look at Tokelhele. It's mostly run by the older folks. And I think it's great now that the younger people have to learn about the laws and what the land claims mean. And I think one of the keys is education. There was a lack of education, and it's going to take a lot of education to bring the corporations around. And I've often wondered what would happen in 1991. You know, what will be the outcome? But on Tokelhele, it's mostly run by the older people. I can't. There are what, maybe two younger people on the board?
Maybe.
In their 30s. But I think education is one of the keys to the outcome of it. And of course, what can they do now? You know, what can they do to reverse it?
Well, that's a big question. Well, anything that you'd like to add, Mrs. Earhart, that just listening to this.
This morning we had an airplane come in here, and it was a guy that was 74 years old, and he got to talking about the natives and the land claims and stuff, and he said, you know, we can't even go, that's why people can't even go fishing anymore. They shoot at our airplanes. He said, you guys own all this land and millions of dollars. And I looked at him and I said, hey, buddy, I don't have any land or money. He said, really? I was telling him about, you know, all the white people that fish on the river. I said, there's very few natives. And
was he native or non-native?
Non-native. He owned a beautiful airplane, and that's why he couldn't go fishing, because the natives wouldn't let them up the creeks or up the rivers. I laughed. I don't have no $1 million or no land. But he was serious. He wasn't being, I mean, I've known this guy for maybe 5 or 6 years. He wasn't being mean about it or anything, but he really believed that we do have, I mean, he's always telling us we have a lot of money. Every summer when he comes here, he really believed that we have a lot of money. And,
What has been the general consensus about what will happen in 1991?
Well, there's a different feeling. Some people say, well, if we stick together and don't sell our shares, then we'll hang on to the land. Others are worried that there being a lot of shareholders who don't live in the villages or even in Alaska anymore, that outsiders could go around and quietly buy out those shares and soon have a majority. Others have said, well, why don't we take our land and transfer it to the tribal governments or to the IRA councils or traditional councils, and then it couldn't be taken over and it couldn't be taxed. And so we're looking at all those suggestions, our job really is to have people like yourselves tell us, well, how do you feel about it? What good did it do you? Has it been a good thing, a bad thing, and what's the most important thing to you now? And most people say land is the most important thing, and subsistence, and just as Mr. Sunnyboy was saying, the majority view seems to be, well, let's stick together and hang on to our land somehow. So people have been making suggestions about how that could be done, and if you've, while we're going around taking this testimony, we're also looking at all the legal and constitutional implications of the solutions that have been proposed, so that at the end we can make recommendations that we hope will be helpful.
There, I remember at one point in, I believe, 1974-75, there was a big emphasis on getting wills done for the Native people. And there was a lot of information distributed, and that we went into the villages to talk to them about their wills, the importance of wills, and the importance of their stock, and their transferring their stocks. And of course, Doyen also, at that point, had their stock forms made up, and why it was important that everybody make wills, and that they understand completely about the transference of their stock. And I think more information was provided to the Native people at that point than the original years in 73 of going around. But there, and I think, I have no idea how many wills were done at that point, but there were a lot, because they wanted to make sure that the stocks were transferred to the appropriate people, and explain the divisions of the stock. Remember when Doyen, you got to slip through Doyen?
I informed a lot of the older people to realize what was going on and which way their assets were going, you know. They wanted to give them to whichever, or divide it however they want in the family. They make sure it's going to stay in the family that way. They seen it then. They understood it a little better. Whereas the younger folks, they didn't really understand it. I still don't understand it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was remembering that, you know, one of the things that was explained to them really made people think, do you want the stocks to stay in your family? Because if not, those stocks would be returned to the corporation. If you did not bequeath them to a relative, there was a chance that those stocks would be lost back into the corporation.
When was that said?
Probably 1974-75, when there was a big push to do wills. BIA was doing wills, Doyen was trying to get out, was really starting to push on wills. And, of course, Legal Services was helping provide that service, because we were traveling in the villages all the time. And then people really, really started paying a lot more attention when that was their stock they were talking about. And a lot of, I think, conscious decisions were made as to who got that stock. And they would come, you know, if they didn't like the way that they had originally done it, they would come in. And I remember one little lady, I believe we changed her will, I think, four times. I think she held the record at that point. She'd get mad at somebody, and she'd come in and change it. And then they'd be okay, and she'd change it back. Yeah, I think it was about four times we went through, did various codicils and stuff for her.
Yeah.
Some of the hopes and desires of her children and other young people.
Yeah, my children, you know, like to live on the land, a subsistence lifestyle. They've tried, you know, the city life, and they're not happy.
And how old are your children then?
24, 22, 21, 19, 18, 15. That's the only ones that's registered, you know. I have three smaller ones. 10, 8, and 7. So you have 9, 10. Yeah, and they love this kind of life. They like
this.
They trap, drive dogs. You can count our 70 or 80 dogs down there. And they want to hold on to the land. They're interested in the land. They don't care if they don't get money, but they'd like to have land where they could come always, you know, come home to.
And you said that they did go to school, mm-hmm. and they were educated, and they tried the city life.
They weren't happy there. They couldn't last.
What city?
Well, they were in Fairbanks. One is went to school in White Swan. And they always got to come home. As soon as they get a couple days off, boy, they're in the boat, they're coming up here to camp. Rain or shine. And they were raised like this, you know, off the... We live strictly a subsistence lifestyle. We don't work for wages. The boys do, you know, when they get a job. If not, they stay here in camp with us and help us. And five of them, you know, are all grown up. And
can you tell me then a little bit about the lifestyle here in camp and year-round that you have?
About the first week in June, we move here, and we don't move back till about the 15th of September. So my kids miss school, but they usually get caught up. And sometimes I have a friend of mine take care of them and then just bring them here on weekends after school starts, because now it's starting August 20th, and commercial for chums don't start till the 15th of August. So, you know, we're late getting back there, and they'd rather be here with me. And then when we move back in the fall, we have all these dogs. Well, they're, you know, taking care of dogs and trying to train them on carts or whatever they could. And then they trap. They trap all winter. And then from trapping, then when there's races, they hit the big races. Until spring, they go to the different, you know, they go to Fairbanks, Anchorage, all the villages that they could afford if they could get a sponsor. Most of the time, they're self-sponsored or by us. And then in the spring, it's getting ready to come up here. We just do that year-round. Oh, they sell the raised dogs to sell, too. And
are there 70 or 80 dogs right here at camp now?
We have more with pups. I don't know. It's Shannon. She knows exactly. I think we have 70 big dogs and probably 30-some pups. We go back with over 100 in the fall. That's county dogs and pups.
Do you do the dog? Do you use the dogs for work or just for racing?
Work too. They trap with the dogs too.
32 pups.
About 70 big dogs. Close to that. We have close to 100. And they use them for trapping, and they're more reliable than a snow go. You can't trust going out way out, you know, 50 miles out, and your snow go breaks down. You have to walk in. So they may take one snow go and two dog teams or one dog team.
So what are they trapping for here, and at what seasons?
Well, they trap marten, mink, link, otter, wolves, wolverines, coyotes, anything they get from November to February? No. Dad, when does the season close for marten? I know it's open in November. About 3 months of it, huh? January, I think, huh? And because beaver season is from then on till April.
Mm-hmm. So, I think we can get your dad to...
Dad, you want to talk on this? He's not feeling good.
Oh.
Yeah, and then some years there's muskrats, but they haven't had that for years. They just... So that's what they use the dogs for. And
there's a lot of it in Stevens Village and beaver, right?
They probably told you in Stevens Village, Jim, about muskrat trapping in, was it April and May?
Yeah, they had some rats there when we were there.
So all my family does that, even the little ones. We take them out on weekends, Friday after school, and bring them back on Sunday, and the little ones trap too. Sometimes I take them out a week. It's so nice over there. We don't come back. We're supposed to be gone for the week, and we stay a week.